morning. Today is Wednesday, the 24th of August, 242nd day of the new year. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor, a horse fan racer, too, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yes.
Or horse race fan, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, I'm okay. Not a racer.
Estelle.
The last time I tried. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Last fell time off the didn't. Last horse.
Yeah, it didn't work. Yeah. Yeah. Our quote this morning. Oh.
Actually, a couple of guys fell off horses this week, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, as long as they bounce back up, they're okay. Our quote from Marcel Proust. I think that's how you pronounce his name. Proust.
Proust.
Things don't change, but by and by our wishes change.
Oh. I was thinking the more things change, the more they stay the same.
I would think we would recognize that person.
Okay.
So you are a county fair attendee?
I am indeed. I have not had the pleasure of being there yet. I just was totally booked up, but I am certainly looking forward to it. It's one of my favorite things to do. I love all aspects of it. You know, I love the just the county fair aspect of it, all the kids, the families, just the excitement of that. It's kind of ingrained. And then I love the fact that we have the races. I mean, I grew up around that, and it's fun.
But aren't they running in the wrong direction? Sorry. Cheap shot, but that's
okay.
No.
But you know what I mean? Here's the deal. You know, there's so much involved with that. Just the fun of, if you want to bet, you know, there's that. But there's also just that hands-on aspect. It's not watching it on TV. You're going down. You get to look at the horses messing around while they're getting ready.
So it's not like Pokemon Go or horse race Go. This is legit. This is life.
This is the real deal. And and then of course I know there's all the things with the 4-H'ers who are just, you know, so excited, and it's just wonderful.
That's the part that we go to is the plants,
auctions,
the art. Mm-hmm. The Bloody Hall, you know, the home ec stuff.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff that you can see. I mean, you can easily spend a bunch of time there, easily.
Yeah, just seeing the efforts or appreciating the efforts
of
so many.
Exactly.
And then if I can do the dime toss properly.
Yeah.
That's nostalgic for me. That's what we did when Grandma would take us.
Oh.
It was the dime toss.
Oh.
You know, all these cheap... cheap glasses that cost you dollars and dollars and dollars. Okay, fine. I mean, they're still around, but
it was fun.
Yeah.
Get out there if you have a chance at all. There's still a few days for anybody who's interested. It's always fun. There's always something.
Whether you're a horsey or not.
Exactly. Oh, gosh, yeah. Sheep, beef, you can name it, dogs, whatever you're interested
cinnamon
in.
Cinnamon rolls.
Yeah, cinnamon roll.
Corn dogs. What's your favorite junk food that's out there?
Probably those and the onions.
Oh, onion rings?
Yeah, the onion rings, yeah. They're terrible, but...
Yeah.
But I hear...
But habit-forming, so that's okay.
Yeah, and there's a very big deal with Guy Fieri this time around.
Yeah, he's making his regular appearances. I think it may be later today.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. Yeah, as long as the place doesn't get burned down, we're all happy. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:19. We'll be back with more from Estelle.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to talk shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, the fair concept itself, does the county recognize it as anything more than just kind of a social place, a community spirit, that kind of an event that, you know, everybody kind of goes, yeah, okay, I get that one. Or do you see it in a little bit different light? Because some do and some don't.
Yeah, from my perspective, it really is shows support also very much for the agricultural community and for the youth who, you know, are kind of coming up into that community. So it has a lot of underlying benefits beyond just having a bunch of fun, you know. Really is.
Now, the county owns the fairgrounds.
Yes.
Does the county invest in the fairgrounds?
Well, yeah, to some degree. The fairground management has been doing very, very well, and I want to applaud them for how they've just been coming through every year, and I think this year's pretty spectacular. Honestly, it's kind of self-sustaining, you know.
Well, I mean, we hear a lot of discussion about aging infrastructure, and there are plenty of those there at the facility also. Mm-hmm. And it seems as if if it's out of sight, it's out of mind. So that when it comes to budget times and going through mm-hmm. the normal processes, what is the replacement, just the normal maintenance that the fairgrounds needs in order to be used not only this time of the year, mm-hmm. but throughout the year with the various different events and whatnot that goes on? Because I can't see a whole lot that's happened. Now, maybe there has been. And it's the underground infrastructure stuff. And, you know, I don't tend to play underground too much. But looking at the mm-hmm. at the buildings, it's kind of what we remember from decades gone by.
Yeah, I don't see anything egregious, but, you know, I'm sure that much could be pointed out to me. I've been in other county buildings that are very badly off, and that's our issue. I mean, we have such a backlog of deferred maintenance, it's not even funny. Right now, our biggest concern with regard to county facilities is compliance with the ADA. We've committed to getting it all taken care of in 3 years. All county buildings should be ADA compliant within 3 years. We're hiring an ADA compliance coordinator. We've already committed about $1.5 million to it, and there'll be more. So that in and of itself is a huge chunk that we have to deal with. We have issues like we had down in Garberville where the vets hall had to be closed because of mold issues, and part of that is, you know, just bare minimum maintenance. Honestly, we've got that not just on our roads but also in our county buildings. It's not great.
So how does that become a higher priority in the funding when the budget cycle comes up?
Right. From my perspective, you're always going to have the pressing issues screaming at you when you're doing the budget. That's just the way it is. What I think, taking the long view, the policy position is get this county back on a better economic footing so that we can afford all of the things that we need to do, you know, with regard to infrastructure. And that's our key. That is our absolute key.
So what is your first step in getting the county economically back on its feet?
I think, you know, we've already made the first step on several issues with regard, say, for instance, to how we're the planning department is running now. We're trying to be a lot more customer friendly, helping people to get their permits through so that they can invest. I think we need to continue along that line. Everybody is aware at this point that if we do not step up, we'll be left behind.
That's got to be tough considering some of the different options that are out there. But I know there's been some restructuring in the county.
Yes.
Last year with the leaving of Phil Crandall. Okay.
Right.
But there are also other areas within that, depending on who you talk to, are either overfunded or underfunded.
Well, we have a new economic development director So that's promising there, the work that's being done. We're just now putting out a request for proposals for an executive director for the Headwaters Fund, and that I'm pretty excited about.
Why not just a hire? Why is there a...
Well, there...
Is that just a protocol that has to be followed?
No, you could do a hire, and then you'd have a county employee, and, I think there are certain benefits to having a contractor come in and just take a look at this and see how it can be run efficiently. And so that's the way we're going with it right now.
A one-year, two-year term, six-month contract?
I haven't looked at the complete RFP. In fact, the RFP, it's just now as a discussion, moving forward with the CAO's office, and I haven't seen the whole parcel of,
That is a significant change.
Yeah, it is a significant change.
And I think that's probably a healthy thing.
That's what we're thinking. Yeah.
I see. Well, there's a secondary story there that we're not going to be talking about because
for a while.
I saw the forehead. We're not going to be talking about the secondary story yet. We'll see what we can figure out.
Yeah.
Is that going to be a trend? Are you looking at more contract rather than hire for things like that?
I don't know. I really appreciate our CIO, Amy Nielsen. She's been on there now for a little while, and she's very willing to step in and take a look at what is a good way to approach things. And I like the way she thinks.
KINS News and Information Times, 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County 2nd District Supervisor Estelle Fennell. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting and by REDEC. Estelle, on the ballot this fall, certainly there's going to be a lot of attention paid to certain races.
Mm-hmm.
I'm certain of certainty.
Absolutely.
Okay, 54 is going to be one. The presidential, I don't know, California, I don't know if it matters. But there will be some discussion, at least.
Yeah.
A couple of statewide propositions. The thing that I find intriguing is that the county and the cities are now using the ballot to do the same thing that we often talk about in not so nice terms.
Yes.
To the state and to the feds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're out. You have demands. You have needs that outstrip your budget. Okay, instead of adjusting, let's do a bond.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's do another bond. Okay, yeah. There's an axiom, Californians haven't found a bond that they don't like. Yeah, and that seemed more sales tax. We had Measure Z and O and Q and S and all of them revenue-generating events. And yes. I think, I don't know if you've seen it this summer, but I've seen a couple situations where tourists, out-of-state tourists come in and they leave the items because of the additional 9 3/4 additional above what their price is.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're not looking at the pumps because they're getting slammed there too. At some point, there's a carrying capacity.
Yeah.
So as you're looking at whether it's maintenance issues or budget issues or economic development issues or any of these types of things, is there recognition that there's a fulcrum and whenever it gets, it's going to be too late and things are going to fall apart quick, that we may be approaching that point.
Well, it's interesting, Brian. This ballot will have a tax, a countywide tax that was put forward by the Humboldt County Association of Governments. So it's not just the county, it's the cities, et cetera, except Fortuna did not support it. But this is for roads, and we'll have a little bit for aviation. It will deal with both the cities and the county. The county share will be somewhere around, if it passes, it's a half cent sales tax for transportation and roads.
Is it a sales tax or is it a gas tax?
It's a sales tax.
So that'll kick it in some jurisdictions to almost 10%.
I guess.
I think there's that are 9.25 now.
Which would be what, Eureka?
Eureka, I think Trinidad is there.
Okay.
Fortuna isn't because it got shut down.
But
I'm not
Fortuna's
sure where
Fortuna's got its own measure that it's going forward.
Yeah,
with. And they're not, that's part of the reason why they don't like the HCOG one. So anyway, as I was saying, so we have that. The county also has a tax, but is a specific tax to medical marijuana growers. So it is an excise tax on medical marijuana. Not everybody will pay it, obviously, just people who are cultivating marijuana. And then there is an interesting,
how much is that one? Or how does that?
That's calculated by area. So depending.
So it's like a property tax.
It's not really. It is definitely an excise tax. It's an excise tax. So what it does is, it's just if you are cultivating outdoors, you pay $1 per square foot of the area you're cultivating. If you're cultivating mixed light, which is another category, half outdoors and half light, that you you'll pay $2 a square foot. And if you're doing indoor, you'll pay $3 a square foot. And so
this is something the assessor then has to go out and.
Well, they'll get a permit based on the square footage of their cultivation. So that's what that'll be tied to it. All
the
that
permit
going to the
process. Okay, so we'll have about 20% complaints. You think initially?
Initially, yeah, it's not gonna jump out right away.
Are there fees baked into that also if they don't comply? If it is found,
mm-hmm.
instead of self-reported. Let's say there's a drug bust.
Mm-hmm.
Stunner, I know. And they find something that's not on the books.
Yeah.
Is there like a $100,000 fine, a $50,000 fine? Is there just an automatic?
There's all
bang?
Sorts of penalties built into, for sure. But then I wanted to say that we have another measure on there too, which is the consolidation of the treasurer, tax collector, and the auditor controller. So we're trying. We're approaching it from both sides, if you will. Now, as I said, the county is not putting up a tax, an across-the-board tax, like we did with Measure Z. We are doing the excise tax, and we are doing the consolidation of two departments.
Well, the HCOG thing kind of feels like it's across the county.
Well,
tax.
It is across the county, but it's not initiated by the supervisors. It's initiated by the County Association of Government, which are the tribes, the supervisors
don't,
as well.
Don't share the blame. Come on.
I'm sharing it. I'm spreading it wide and far. Arcata, Eureka, everybody.
So Fortuna was the only one that said no?
Yeah, and interestingly, if the rest of the county votes on it, Fortuna will get their cut, which I'm sure they'd be happy for,
I guess.
For their roads and all of that. They have a tough one. I talked to one of the council members, I won't mention who, very conservative council member, and that person was... just, felt really badly about having to do this, but also realized that without it, they were just going to go so far into their reserves that they would be in trouble. And they just felt it was the responsible thing to do to raise some funds. So that's what they're going to be asking the community for, is, help in keeping the county, the city afloat.
I can't see that anybody would be against the marijuana. Because it's the other guy that's paying for it.
Yeah, right.
It's like, you know, having a bed tax go up. It's the other guy. Mm-hmm. It's not me.
Yeah, yeah. When we did a polling on that, there was a huge amount of support, and there was actually support for a higher tax than we were proposing. So
sales tax?
The excise.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, make it $10. That's okay.
Right, exactly. And so we did get some pushback, believe it or not, even when we pared it down. We did get some pushback from one grower association who said it was too high and it was too much of a burden and that they were really concerned about the accumulation of taxes. Well, There will be other taxes coming somewhere down the pike, but interestingly enough, both of the excise taxes proposed at the state level have not gone forward. So this would be the only excise tax at this point, and that's not a whole lot.
So where did those dollars go? Are they going into Health and Human Services? Are they going into, I guess, addiction counseling? Are they going into water restoration? Where are those dollars earmarked to go?
They're going to be going definitely towards environmental issues, for sure. Also dealing with hard drugs. And they'll be dealing with all sorts of essential services and implementing the marijuana law as well. So there's a lot.
So the impact area of marijuana.
It will, and this is an open-ended thing, so it will go particularly into the general fund, and it will deal with what the impact of marijuana.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43. We'll be back with more from Estelle Fennell.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're still back. We're still talking. It's still Estelle. What more?
For a little while.
Maybe we need Estelle.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. Okay. Yeah, revenuers are coming up.
Yeah, well, you know, marijuana now, stills in the past. I had an interesting observation made by a fellow I know. He said, you know, remember back in the 70s when we had the drought? And I said, yeah. Mm-hmm. That the Eel River continued to flow. Mm-hmm. And now we are coming off of a normal year, and the Eel River isn't. Has there been any progress, Estelle, what the impact is? How many gallons of water are being taken out of the Eel River? Or, I guess, for simple minds, if there was no pot growing in the hills, how much more water would be coming through?
That's something that people have been talking about, and it's not just the Eel, it's the Van Dusen as well.
Sure, the Mad now is starting to get...
Yeah, so I think that this is really one of the main issues behind the marijuana land use ordinance and the water boards coming out and trying to put a stop to some of the egregious stuff that's happening out there. There's so many people that are diverting water illegally, large amounts of water. And there's another issue. It's in our regulations, we say you can't truck water to a cannabis grow. And I'm seeing a bunch of water trucks out there, and I'm pretty convinced.
Gee.
I wonder, do they know where they're going or what they're doing?
Using your intuition. Yeah, no kidding. Well,
it's something we need to talk about.
Next month we will.
Okay.
Thanks for coming by.
Bye.
Have fun at the
fair. Thank you.
We've been talking shop with Estelle Fennell. Join us tomorrow for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day, hug someone you love, and I'll see you then.